Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I know we're on a little earlier than normal, but it's the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So you can look for a brand new one tomorrow morning while you're over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. So I woke up and found out we had a big-time free agent signing. The Colorado Rockies have inked Wade Davis to a deal that is 3 years at $52 million. So it looks like he was just kind of passing through Chicago on his one-year deal. Now, interestingly, you know, they sent a prospect to get him. Does this mean in Stu's eyes that this was a bad deal because he only stayed here the 1 year?
Pretty much. Who did they send to get him?
Jorge Soler.
I mean, in those eyes, but he was never going to play here in Chicago.
Right. You know, it's just one of those things. But interestingly, I found this on MLB Network. You know, it was the wonderful time for them to have my favorite guy, Brian Kenny, on air. And he tore this signing to shreds. And oddly, part of the basis they used was the fact that Davis is making more on this contract per year than Mariano Rivera ever made. Now, I'm not quite sure if that's a fair comparison because salaries, of course, continue to go up. And if Mariano Rivera was pitching in today's game, he would be the highest paid reliever. So I thought that was pretty stupid on Brian Kenny's part, but I naturally expect that from him. And it's so odd, you know, Dan, I listen to these guys and they tell you, well, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And then when a team does it, it's almost like a bad debate because then they take the other side and they counterpoint you and rip you for doing it. Now, you know, the Rockies, last year they had really good success by, using we can't call it top-notch starting pitching. They had some solid guys. But, you know, they got by on that big monster bullpen, which included Greg Holland, who it doesn't look like will be back this year. But, you know, they did re-sign Jake McGee. You know, they'll have Adam Ottavino. I believe Mike Dunn is still under contract. So, you know, they have some guys they can, look to kind of run out there. And, you know, Chris Russin kind of found a home in the bullpen last year as the lefty kind of specialist. And I just don't understand it, Dan. It's like, okay, well, we made the move you guys thought we should make, and now we suck because of it. I just don't get it. I'm done. I can't figure it out.
Is it because it's Colorado?
Yeah, you know, they didn't really – basically what they were saying is they don't like the idea of Colorado having a monster bullpen, and they think they need to do more than build their starters. And then oddly, they said the way to build your bullpen is the way the Yankees did it, by bringing in your homegrown talent. Now, Dan, I might be an idiot here, but I thought Aroldis Chapman came up through the Red system. I know David Robertson was originally a Yankee, but he went away for a few years and came back. And their third big bullpen piece is Tommy Kahnle, who, if I remember correctly, went to the Yankees with Robertson from the White Sox and came up through the White Sox system. So the Yankees did a fantastic job of developing their own players by going out and getting them from other teams. So again, these guys just don't make any common sense when they start to throw stuff out there. And it's literally almost like they don't do the research, or we're not supposed to know.
Well, and sadly, you know that they know these things.
Yeah. So, I guess I'm just under the impression that we're supposed to be idiots and not realize these things. But, then of course they're balking at the price tag because Davis now becomes the highest paid relief pitcher in baseball. Now, humorously, when somebody goes on the market, they'll be the highest paid relief pitcher in baseball because that's how salaries go. It seems stupid. And then their other bitch was, well, he only threw 58 innings last year. Well, innings are down across the board. You know, not everybody is Andrew Miller, who can come out of the bullpen and go two or three innings. And I don't believe Raleigh Fingers is still pitching in Oakland, so there are no guys who get six or nine out saves anymore. Dan, again, it seems like incredibly stupid logic on these guys' part. And, will Davis's numbers change? Well, yeah, of course, he's going to pitch in Colorado. He probably won't have a 230 ERA, but he'll still probably save 30 to 40 games. Isn't that what they're getting him for?
That's what they need him for.
Right. Because my guess now is they'll let Greg Holland go. He's a free agent as well. So, they'll just kind of go along with what they have and what they've been kind of working on. And they did also go out and get Brian Shaw from Cleveland. I forgot about that move. So, they've reshaped their bullpen a little bit, but it's going to be very similar to last year's structure, which, hey, it got them in the playoffs, and in that division, that's a big accomplishment. That's a tough division that I believe is going to be even tougher because I expect the Giants to bounce back.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah,
how does their pitching staff run out with Davis?
Yeah, well, they'll have, Mike Dunn, who's a quality setup guy. Jake McGee, who's the left-handed power arm. And then, Brian Shaw was, fantastic for the Indians for many years. And he's one of those guys, but a few years ago, he had like an 80 appearance season. I want to double check that to make sure I'm right on that. But I remember him being one of those guys who can go out and just, go out and pitch here. Yeah, he pitched in 79 games last year, and it was 80 in 2014. He's been the American League leader in appearances in three of the last 4 years. So, I guess if they were looking for innings out of a reliever, you get him out of Shaw, who pitched 76 innings last year. And Davis is your closer. You don't want him working more than one or, really, you really don't want him going more than three outs, but, four or five at the most. So, yeah, it just, I didn't understand their logic, their thinking. I mean, we kind of knew Colorado was going to sign a closer or maybe trade for a closer. But, it baffles me. I mean, I figure it's a decent signing for them, don't you?
Well, and if they didn't, why didn't somebody else?
If they what? You broke up a little there.
I said if they didn't sign him, wouldn't they have somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not like he wouldn't have, gotten a contract from another team. I know the Astros were very interested in him. so, you know, you have to wonder if, you know, maybe there was something there. And I mean, when you start looking at the relief pitching market, you know, Greg Holland is the other guy out there. Oh, excuse me. But, you know, he really struggled the second half of the year. And, you know, you wonder if, you know, that might turn a few teams off. You know, there are the guys, you know, the Cardinal guys that are out there, Saquon Oh and Trevor Rosenthal. But, you know, they weren't anything spectacular. You can tell my cough is getting better, can't you? Oh. But, yeah, so, you know, it's not a huge closer type of market. I mean, unless you're going to buy Addison Reed as a closer, you know, there's not a ton of guys that you can turn the ball over to. You know, Tony Watson is out there, but remember, he seemed to be much better as a setup guy than a closer. You know, you could take a chance on Glenn Perkins coming back from injury, but, you know, I mean, you could, you know, instead you just do it the easy way and you pay Wade Davis.
Well, Watson was almost non-existent in L.A.
Yeah. So, you know, it just seemed, you know, again, you know, it's a team the Rockies are going to go back to what they did last year, just with Davis at the end of the bullpen instead of Holland. You know, they're going to plug Shaw into the setup role along with McGee, and then Dunn is there who, you know, gets lefties and righties out. You know, seems like a pretty good back end of the bullpen. You know, they're not over – well, McGee is overpowering, but the other guys aren't overpowering strikeout guys, but they get outs, and that's what you want, at least the last time I checked. I'm just guessing apparently sabermetrically they don't line up, and you can't get on board with it if it doesn't work in sabermetrics. You know, I would love to know what they said about the Holland signing last year when the Rockies made that. I would be quite interested there to see kind of what they said and if they liked that or didn't like that, because, you know, there were some questions on him coming off Tommy John, and he had a really good year. So, yeah, again, it's just one of those baffling things. But did you do you like that for them? You think that's going to work out?
I think it will. I mean, it all depends on their offense, how much that's going to help them too.
Yeah. You know, and they did get out from under some salary. You know, Cargo's a free agent. It doesn't look like they're bringing him back. So, you know, and then Holland, obviously, I mean, he wasn't signed to a huge deal because it was kind of a showcase for him, but, you know, I mean, you literally signed the best closer on the market and you got crapped all over for it. So, well, welcome to Sabermetrics, people. This is how it goes. So enjoy your baseball and don't expect anybody your team signs to be any good because they're not sabermetrically relevant. So there you go. And then, you know, the other report, Dan, is apparently the Brewers are close to adding another arm. They're looking at a lefty specialist here. Now, you know, they did lose Anthony Swarzak in free agency, and while that doesn't sound like a big deal, he was actually a really good setup guy last year. But they're looking at good old Boone Logan. You know, Logan actually started his career with the White Sox back in 2006. So he's made the rounds, you know, stops in Atlanta. He had a really solid run with the Yankees and then 3 years in Colorado. And then last year with Cleveland, he pitched in 38 games for Cleveland, but was a little dinged up. And here you go, Dan, talk about a lefty specialist, 38 games equal 21 innings. So talk about coming in just to see one guy, huh?
Not bad, right?
Yeah. So, and, you know, he's always been a strikeout guy. You know, in his career, he's got 465 strikeouts and just 189 walks. So, you know, if the Brewers ink him, he'll be a nice little piece to add in to get some get those tough lefties out. You know, the Anthony Rizzos or the Matt Carpenters. You know, the guys that they're gonna run into in that division. So, nothing official yet, but it looks like it's going that way. So, what could be a really solid move for the Brewers there? Kind of smart on their end. If you got to face those guys, you got to find a way to get them out, right?
Exactly. Sorry, they just let us on the train. Getting situated.
Oh. So, well, as long as you know you're not a hobo when you're trying to run and catch it, we're but yeah, and, humorously, just kind of working off our story yesterday that I started with when I was kind of joking with you about Schaumburg Stu and the Manny Machado trade. I got a follow-up email this morning on another reason why he didn't like the trade. Now, in case you haven't heard, I believe Stu mentioned last time he's about to turn 82. So he's retired, and he's got his routine. He goes out every morning, and he gets the newspaper. Yes, he actually goes and gets the newspaper. He either goes to 7-Eleven or he goes to CVS. And then, of course, CVS is the pharmacy he went with. So he went to CVS yesterday, Dan, and another big reason that the Machado trade isn't very good is the guy he sees working the counter every day doesn't like it either. So we have our sources at CVS, the guy who works the counter, does not like the trade. So there you go, Dan.
Well, he's got to get at least $5.
Yes, well, we're slowly but surely we're building our sources. So, now we have one at CBS or CVS, not CBS. So take that. But yeah, I thought that was funny. I was trying to remember. I heard there's a movie line that kind of goes like that. They were talking about some big deal, and a guy, I don't remember if it's a cab driver, or if it might even be a fast food worker playing the part in the movie, doesn't like the deal, and the guy's like, see, it's like, and that's just what I felt like. It was kind of like, okay, so yeah, I thought that was quite humorous, but maybe that's just me. I know I'm weird like that. I can't help myself.
I mean, that was on the Cubs website today. Would you be willing to give up Russell and even Baez?
Yeah, one I would be okay with, obviously not two. You can't give up both guys. But, yeah, if I'm giving up Baez, you're not getting much but Javier Baez. I'm not going anywhere past that. I mean, Russell, I can understand. I think we've kind of seen who he's going to be offensively, but Baez still has a lot of potential that hasn't been revealed yet. So, that's a little different story. But did you vote when it was on there?
Oh no, it was just a part of the article headline. It wasn't a vote.
Oh. So that's too bad. I was hoping it would be a big time vote or something and we could go and rig the poll. So would have been fun. Oh. So yeah, I don't know. What else is going on? What did you hear? What did you hear today? Obviously I'm a little behind since we jumped on early. Did you get any new big news while you were out and about today?
Not really, but part of the article, it was by Carrie Muskrat, and she was I throw a nail up every time. But she was asking the question or asked the question of would Wilson Contreras be a good leadoff hitter?
Oh, it's his turn. Okay. Well, there you go. So now we know that they are just desperate to put anybody in the leadoff spot for the Cubs.
Well, this was a fan. This wasn't a...
Oh, okay. So, was it Stu? Oh. You know, that's all. I'm
so
always,
I was looking
I'm
to get your
concerned
take on
when...
it.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not even talking about it. So I'm done with all those guys. But I did find, you know, this was a little, I guess, odd when it kind of came up. You know, we had the, you know, the Hall of Fame ballot came out, and at the point, you know, I didn't think much of it, but you know, Jamie Moyer was on it. And on a lie, maybe it's just the people I follow on Twitter, Dan, but oddly, he's getting quite a bit of support. And I had to pull up his numbers. Now, you know, he pitched 25 years. You know, he started, his first start was with the Cubs back in, I know they listed here, June 16th of 1986. He did miss... He missed 1992 because of injury. Then he pitched till 2010, took a year off, and came back in 2012 to make 10 starts with the Rockies before eventually being released. Now he is he's got a career winning percentage. He's 269 and 209. The ERA is a little high though, 420, you know, 4.25. You know, I know they don't take a lot of interest in that, you know, anymore. But, you know, he did rack up 2,441 strikeouts, walked 1,155 guys. And I'm trying to see here if this is But, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, is it a serious Hall of Fame candidacy here?
Why not, right?
Yeah, I just wasn't so sure, you know, if I should be buying this or, you know, how everybody would kind of react if he, you know, if he actually got some votes.
Well, it is his first year on the ballot, so I think he can get some votes, but I don't see that happening, especially I don't see him being a first year Hall of Famer.
So yeah, you know, I mean, obviously I don't expect him to get in this year, but I mean, is this really something down the road that we're gonna consider Jamie Moyer as a Hall of Famer?
Could be. I have the nominee list up, and WAR is one of the first categories, so I'm trying to skim through it.
Yeah.
How many years can you be on? Is it 10?
Yeah, as long as you get, I believe, a certain percentage of the vote, you can stay on for 10 years.
I mean, the issue with Jamie Moyer is you still have, well, we'll take Trevor Hoffman off because he was released, but you got Roger Mussina, Mike Mussina, Roger Clemens, Kurt Schilling, Johan Santana. There's been some talk about even Carlos Zambrano, but I don't see him being first ballot or really even getting it. You know, kind of going by old school numbers, he definitely has the, you know, like you said, the winning percentage over the rest of the guys that are first ballot Hall of Famer, or not first year on the ballot, but I mean, I feel like if any pitcher is going to go in this year, it's going to be Clemens, Mussina, or Schilling, which, I mean, despite the allegations, I don't think anything was ever really proven on Clemens, neither was Bob, but, you know, Clemens was a Hall of Famer before the issues.
Yeah, you know, I think the problem with Clemens, though, is he's just such a jerk.
He's got the Jim Rice stigma.
I don't even know if it's, you know, he may be worse. He's just kind of, you know, ultra arrogant, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, but he's Roger Clemens.
Yeah, you know, I know. And, you know, I believe he really does belong in the Hall of Fame, you know, I mean, obviously, but, we all know he cheated. It's no surprise to anybody. So, you know, just kind of get over it yourself.
But yeah, but at the same token, I mean, I hate to be the one that says, like, everybody was doing it because not the majority of the guys were doing it. But to the same fact that Major League Baseball turned a blind eye to it, I still am not.
Yeah, but doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't. But it was part of the game. And everyone's got to learn to accept that it was part of the game. And now it's part of the game that you're not supposed to do it. So, you know, he was part of an era that needed to do something to bounce back after the strike, which hurt them. And either someone has to come out and just flat out, there has to be some kind of ruling that says these guys with allegations, not even proof, but allegations, that they're not allowed in. And unless that happens, then, I mean, you can't really discount them.
No, well, you know, they should always be considered. It's just, you know, it depends on, and, you know, I do think eventually as we switch voters and we get newer and newer guys who won't care about, like, the legacy of the game or anything like that, that they'll get in. You know, they need to get in before they get to the Veterans Committee, I believe it's called now, not the Old Timers Committee, because if they get to those guys, they're not getting in.
No.
So,
the legacy of the game or not, it's a part of the history. And it's a part of the history that baseball refuses to truly address. I mean, Bud Selig's out. And I don't know why Manfred hasn't really made any statement other than he wants to speed up the pace of the game and make it better to attract young kids who cannot watch the World Series because it starts when their bedtime comes along.
Yeah, but, you know, at this point, what can he say about it? You know, I mean, who, you know, they don't, like you said, you know, Bonds never tested for anything, neither did Clemens. I mean, of course, we both know they took stuff. You know, I mean, none of us are stupid enough to believe that, you know, Barry Bonds' head continued to grow every off season for, you know, because he had gigantism or something. I mean, none of us are ever that really stupid. But, you know, again, it's just kind of like what, you know, what can you say? Hey, we think they cheated.
But yeah, but I mean, when it comes to rules and legalities, did they go in? It wasn't a matter of right and wrong. It was a matter of what was put together, you know, as what supplements they could or couldn't take.
You know, and yeah, now see, back then, I don't even know if they had that when,
exactly.
You know, they found out McGuire was taking, you know, Andro. I don't know what the rules were.
That's exactly my point.
Oh.
And that's where, I mean, Manfred hasn't come out and, you know, or not even him, but the whole collective, you know, commissioner's office hasn't come out and put something out to put a stamp on it. I mean, sooner or later, you're going to have to acknowledge that it was a part of the game, and it may not have been the brightest part, but it happened. And we can't, I guess at the end of the day, we can't change it.
You know, I mean, they have their rules now. You know, everybody knows what they can and can't take. You know, and, you know, I guess, you know, back then maybe they were a little naive or, you know, who knows? You know, maybe they just, you know, you didn't really expect anything like this. I mean, obviously I was a lot younger. I didn't, you know, expect this kind of thing to go on. So, you know, it was just one of those, you know, one of those possible loopholes, I guess.
And that's my point. You know, if they were in within the realm of the game.
Yeah, but remember
right?
when Bonds,
no.
by the time Bonds and Clemens started taking stuff, they had rules.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, they had came up with the stuff then that this is what they were going to do, and, you know, this was legal and that was legal, and they went, you know, against it. So, you know, and again, I'm not saying they're not Hall of Famers. It just disappoints me that two guys who would have gotten in without ever using anything decided to cheat the game because they wanted to be whatever they wanted to be, bigger than the game. Or, you know, I know a lot of the reports were that Bonds wanted the home run record. You know, he didn't want to see McGuire with it. So I don't know, you know, I mean, obviously these are things we're never going to find out, you know, it's just one of those things, but.
And at the end of the day, too, do you think, I guess, did they even care about the Hall of Fame more so than extending the life of their game? Because I think one of the things we have to remember, too, is especially guys coming from that era, this was it. You know, baseball was their life. And telling them that they can't do it anymore, I think hurt them more than anything. And that's why they tried to do whatever they could, you know, to continue to play the game. Because, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of the guys who get hurt, except for Muggy Cabrera, a lot of it is to help them heal faster and to continue to play, which isn't
yeah,
right.
Yeah, no, but, you know, I mean, as long as there's sports, there's always going to be guys looking for ways to cheat. You know, there's nothing at all you can do about that. It's just how things go. You know, I mean, every year we see baseball players get busted for failing drug tests. We see football players. I don't know about basketball. I don't think I've heard anybody. Do they have drug testing? But, you know, I mean, we hear it every year, you know, these guys, you know, this guy did that or that guy did this. And, you know, I mean, it's the way things go. Guys are always going to try to make themselves better. And if that means I got to get a little help out of a needle or a cream or a pill or a drink or whatever it's going to be, there's going to be guys and probably a majority of the guys that are going to go that route. It's just, you know, it's just kind of how it goes. But, you know, the thing that kills me on that is when they get caught and they get outed and then they deny it, or you get the stupid, oh, I didn't know that was in there. Okay, you don't read, or you don't have a trainer, you don't have a personal trainer that can read, and maybe that's a problem. So,
well, not only that, a trainer, but a lawyer, your agent.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and anybody who works with you on this that could say, hey, maybe you shouldn't take that because it's on this list of banned substances. So.
Yeah. Oh, well, and kind of bouncing back to what you said about Bonds, I didn't know about the head size, his head size growing, but I can definitely attest to that because I did, we've talked about it before, I'm very open about it. I've taken testosterone when I was younger, and I actually, my hat size went up two sizes, and my shoe went up almost two sizes. And I got taller.
Yeah.
Not by much. On the
yeah, that was
one.
Always. Yeah, that was always the one thing they continued to report was every year Bonds would have a need a bigger hat. So, you know, again, it's the past, and you know, there's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, it is what it is. And I believe they're possibly trying to make sure the game is clean or better, I honestly don't know, because, you know, home runs were hugely up this year, but I believe that was more because of the rubber baseball they were using instead of the one they had 2 years ago. So,
yeah, well, I mean, you don't want the players to cheat, but the league cheat for them.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, see, and that's the fun thing. I mean, when it needs to be adjusted, baseball isn't afraid to make those adjustments. You know, I mean, if they think home runs are going to bring more interest, well, hey, we're going to find a way to have you guys hit more home runs. Here it is. So, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it didn't take long. You know, it was like, okay. So, you know, and I mean, that's something, you know, they can't deny the balls have been tested against last year's balls. And they bounce much higher and carry much farther. So there's, you know, there's no way around that one.
You know, with that being said, do you think that's why the launch angle and that other crap is taking more into play because of the way the baseball is designed?
Yeah, you know, you have to wonder, you know, maybe if guys are thinking if they get this ball in the air, you know, it's going to fly. So, you know, who knows what, you know, guys now and stuff they're taught, you know, through sabermetrics. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, all right, Dana, I got to ask you this one as we switch up here. The Lakers are 11-22. They've dropped four straight. They've lost seven of their last eight. Your guy Lonzo is out. Apparently they had a team meeting to, as they say, clear the air. Is this going to help them break out of it here? I believe they play tonight. I want to double check the schedule. Will this help them? Yeah, they're playing the Los Angeles Clippers tonight. You got the Lakers breaking their losing streak now because they had this big team meeting and they're going to come out on fire?
What air needed to be clearing? Because from what I understand, there's not one guy in the locker room talking about all the girlfriends that he has and another guy recording that and putting him on blast on social media. So what air needs to be cleared?
Yeah, you know, obviously they're not going to say anything. There's some there's a generic quote from Brandon Ingram that says, just clearing up some things that we can be better at, how we can hold each other more accountable for ourselves, and how we can just get a better feeling for the game. So yeah, that's the big quote.
To me, it sounds like they haven't been playing as a team, but a group of individuals. But, you know,
yeah.
I'm not gonna be all behind Lonzo and, you know, big baller Brandon all the way, but from what I've seen from him, he's definitely pushed the ball around. It just looks like, and, you know, and I don't want to push the blame, but maybe Luke Walton's coaching style doesn't really adapt to a group of fresh young guys, as opposed to being the coach while the head coach is out for a group of pretty much established guys who already have a game plan.
Yeah, well, you know that, and I mean, you got to kind of look at this team. I mean, there's not a boatload of talent on it. Yeah, you know, I mean, Kyle Kuzma has been a lot better than people thought he was going to be. You know, Brandon Ingram is solid, but, you know, they don't have, I mean, you know, let's face it, while Lonzo has done a nice job of dishing the ball and he's rebounding really well for a guard, he sucks as a shooter. you know, I mean, there's just no other way around it. I mean, he's averaging 10 points a game. And he needs to be better than that. It's just, you know, he's shooting just under 35% from the field, but he's taking 11 shots a game. So, you know, it's kind of like you need to start kind of hitting these things. You know, even if he could, you know, find a way to get him up to 40%, that would help. you know, they have an odd collection of young talent that they got to figure out how they're going to work in. I mean, you look at the names, you know, Julius Randle's a good player. Larry Nance Jr. has done well. You know, Josh Hart has been a nice little backup point guard to have, you know, behind Lonzo. You know, it's just they're pretty much right where I think they were going to end up. They're, you know, 11-22. They, you know, they weren't going to the playoffs this year. You know, I don't know why we're airing grievances. They're kind of sitting right where I thought they would.
Well, they were supposed to come out and just dominate. I mean, I don't know who put that in their head.
They don't have any dominating players. So.
Until next year.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it takes time to build these things up. I mean, they just tanked last year. You know, or maybe it was 12. I don't think they were trying to tank 2 years ago. I think they were just bad. You know, they just got in a tanking game last year. You know, it takes hitting on a couple of these draft picks to get your team back to contention, and they're just, you know, they're just, you know, will they get there? It looks like they're on the right track, but they're not there this year. I don't understand this at all.
Well, I mean, you don't understand why they're complaining, or
or why? Yeah, why they needed it? Why did you need a team meeting? You know, I mean, unless somebody's being a tool bag and you needed to call them out, but obviously they're not going to tell us that.
No.
So.
Not like they have Eli Apple in their locker room.
Right. You know. I didn't hear the word cancer thrown out, but. Real quick, here's the rest of the NBA schedule, Dan, because there's a real good game to kick off the night. The Houston Rockets are at the Washington Wizards. That's actually a 6 o'clock start on NBA TV. So I may actually check a little bit out because I do have John Wall on my fantasy team. Then we have the Atlanta Hawks at the Toronto Raptors, the Brooklyn Nets at the Miami Heat. The Bulls are home tonight, Dan. They're taking on the Indiana Pacers. You can watch that. The Dallas Mavericks at the New Orleans. What are they? They're the Pelicans now, right? The Milwaukee Bucks at the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Phoenix Suns against the Sacramento Kings are the second game on NBA TV, Dan, if you're interested in that. We got the Charlotte Hornets at the Golden State Warriors, and then I mentioned Clippers at Lakers, technically, even though they both use the same building. The Lakers are the home team tonight. So there's your NBA rundown. Dan, I'm actually interested in Rockets Wizards. Is my guy John Wall going to come through tonight? He's going to have a big night.
He's got to. I don't have NBA TV anymore, so.
Oh, you poor guy. Well, I'm sure you can watch it online or, you know, whatever they do. But I did find it interesting. Now, this is something I don't know if I've heard an actual guy admit this before, but John Wall came out and admitted that when they play against lesser competition, you know, teams they should beat more or less, he says that he's playing for stats. Are you excited that we actually had an NBA player be honest and come out and say this?
I mean, it's nice for the honesty. Got to imagine that irritates the other team. And maybe it makes them play harder.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it would make me probably want to try to stop them a little more. You know, and he was specifically mentioning Wednesday night they played the Atlanta Hawks, who have the worst record in the NBA. So that was part of the deal. Oddly, I believe the Wizards lost that game. Yeah, it looks like they lost it 113-99. So I guess playing for stats didn't work out.
You know, maybe he meant that as that's the motivation.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if they got any kind of quotes here from him on it in this article, but this is what they got from him. They got, we talk about it, we say when we play these teams that are not above 500 or not one of the great teams, we go out there playing for stats. It's simple as that. We can see it. I think we all can see it when we play. So.
At least they're playing for
right? Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess you need a motivation when, you know, you run across these teams and, you know, I mean, I would like to kind of see a counterpoint or something from a Kevin Durant or, a LeBron James or, you know, maybe a James Harden on what kind of motivates them. You know, when they're playing these kind of teams, I know in the old days, you know, I mean, Michael Jordan's motivation was the fact that he just wanted to destroy everybody. I don't know in the, you know, everybody's friends NBA nowadays if that's still the case. But, yeah, it would be interesting to know what some of these other guys' opinions were. So.
Well, Harden has the beard. So he's always playing for the beard, right?
Yes, he's, you know, I'm assuming Kevin Durant wants to show what he can do without Steph Curry, and he's actually played quite well with Curry hurt. So, you know, just kind of, kind of one of those, odd things. It's nice, like I said, it's nice that he admitted it. You know, I'm quite impressed that he came out and said, you know, this is what we do. So, I thought that was pretty cool. You know, we'll just have to see. Hopefully, he'll put up some stats tonight. That would be nice, John Wall. I could use a triple double or something like that out of you. I'm not asking for much, huh? So,
no, not much. No.
You know. Oh. So, but yeah, I did find it. I don't know. It always kind of weirds me out when they do this, and I'm thinking, Dan, maybe for baseball season we have to have a weekly segment on who the league MVP is at the time. Because now I heard since Steph Curry is out, Kevin Durant has now moved himself to the MVP conversation, Dan, because of the way he's playing. Is it time to vote Kevin Durant MVP, Dan? Now's the time?
I mean, they haven't even gotten through halfway through the season. I saw that article I think on somewhere on social media, and I just rolled my eyes and kept going. You know, because I mean, honestly, I think LeBron has to do a lot more to actually become the MVP anymore, unless everyone just doesn't play as well. You know, I'm not taking anything away from him; he's still a great player, but he just. You know, there's other guys. And I think the game's proven that. Plus, he's only, you know, with all his days off, I don't think he, deserves it all the time.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of, you know, more humorous to me than anything at this point where it's like, you know, hey, here's your MVP, and we're how many games into the season? You know, 39. There are teams that have played 39 games. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's about where they are. About 39 games in, Dan, I think is the most any team has. So, I don't know if that's enough for you to call an MVP. Is that enough for you to hand out the MVP award?
No.
Yeah, pretty close. They're getting there.
Maybe they should hand out a mid-season MVP.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously every sports writer is going to, every NBA sports writer is going to write that article, you know, the mid-season awards. So, you know, but yeah, it was kind of humorous. You know, like I caught the article. I didn't read it. I just laughed at the headlines because I always think about you when I see this. There was an article today that said, why is LeBron still pushing so hard this late in his career? You know, I get it. He's been around a long time, but did they forget that he started at 18? So he's still a relatively young man. You know, it's not like he's, you know, 45. Pushing 40 or anything like that. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, he's not on the downside of his career. His skills are still, you know, at the top of the game. I mean, he's about to turn 33 tomorrow. You know, it was just kind of like, you know, anytime I see something like that, I immediately think of Dan going, well, the guy had a deadline, had to come up with something, and this is what he got.
Yeah.
You know, that and the fact that, you know, I mean, he's a competitor. And when you're a competitor, you want to win. You know, you go out there and you play hard all the time. You're not looking for, you know, a day off or a game off. I mean, in his case, he takes them. But, you know, I mean, your object is you want to win titles. You know, otherwise, why the hell are you playing? So yeah, I got quite a chuckle out of that when I saw that, and I was just like, oh yeah, somebody had to meet their deadline, couldn't come up with anything. This is what they got.
Mhm. Well, you know, I mean, if you've seen Batman versus Superman, you know, Clark Kent is the newspaper guy, and he keeps, you know, he wants to write about the Batman story, but his editor keeps giving him, you know, stupid things to write about. You know, Morpheus keeps giving him stuff he doesn't want to write about because I forgot his real name. And you know, that's kind of what it reminds me of as of late. You know, you're forced to write about,
you know, again,
stupid. Here it is.
Yeah, here's your article. Go get it. But, you know, on a little more interesting note, or something that actually kind of plays in, there was a, you know, some interesting talk with Carmelo Anthony, your guy, talking about how he has to learn to accept his off-ball role in the Oklahoma City offense. Now, you know, they've been playing much better as of late. They seem to be gelling a little more. And Anthony did just, I think it was last week, he hit 7 three-pointers in a game. Oh. So do you think he's finally figuring out a spot where he's got to be with Oklahoma City, and that, you know, he's not going to be that main ball handler? It's Russell.
Yeah, well, I don't think he really figured that out in New York either, did he? I mean, he's a power forward. Is he a forward, not a guard?
Well, you know, now in today's NBA, you know, I everybody is so interchangeable.
I know.
So, you know, I mean, they have point forwards and, you know, guard forwards and center point men, and you know how that goes, so.
And three-point shooting center.
Yes. You know, but I mean, you had to figure it would be a little bit of an adjustment for him, right? Coming here, you know, to Oklahoma City and being paired with, you know, two other all-stars in Paul George and then Russell Westbrook, who's coming off an NBA season, to where in New York it was, I mean, it was Carmelo's team. I mean, we knew flat out front, you know, even with Porzingis there, you know, last year, we knew, you know, Carmelo's the man, he's the guy, this is it. There's got to be a bit of an adjustment period, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, isn't this more or less what he's been waiting for, though, to be a part of a Power Three?
Yeah, you know, you know, you got to wonder. I think maybe he wanted to be the, you know, maybe I think maybe he wanted to be part of the Power Three with him as the top guy.
more the LeBron as opposed to the Bosh.
Yeah, you know, definitely in, you know, that kind of a setup there, you know, where this is, you know what I mean? To be fair, I mean, he's not having a terrible year. He's still averaging 17.6 points per game. I mean, I know it's down from where, you know, Carmelo's standards normally are. But, you know, he's getting solid minutes. He's playing 33 minutes a game. He's getting about 16 shots a game. You know, he's shooting right around 41%. So, you know, maybe if, you know, if he incorporates the three-pointer a little more, you know, he'll be, you know, he'll add a few more buckets. He'll get to that 20 points a game. You know, I mean, not bad for a team that's got to figure out if they're a title contender, right?
They need to figure it out, too. I mean, because it's getting to the point where what's the point if, ooh, yeah, it's great you made the playoffs, and, ooh, you've got that playoff experience, but what does it really translate into when you're not going to the conference finals and taking yourself to the finals?
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, and I mean, you know, as a team, they're, where are they now? I was looking at them, I lost it. You know, they're 20-15, and they're on a six-game winning streak. So, you know, maybe they're, you know, they figured a little something out here. They've kind of got it, you know, going in, you know, the right direction. I want to look at their schedule to see who they've beat, because I believe one of those wins was over Atlanta, and I'm not sure if we can count that. So,
you know, the sad part, though, is with a guy like Carmelo and then, you know, Russell Westbrook and Paul George, it shouldn't take 40 games to kind of get a groove on.
I don't know. You don't think, I mean, even with each guy being, you know, his own individual guy last year, that it would take a little bit?
I mean, it's take a little bit, but, you know, 39 games, I think that's a little excessive. You know, 25 games, I think should have been the number.
No, they have had two really good wins here late. They beat Toronto on Wednesday and then Houston on Monday. They got Milwaukee tonight before playing Dallas on New Year's Eve. Do you got them going to seven tonight against the Bucks? The game is in Oklahoma City. You got them stretching it out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless Milwaukee's on their game, but the last couple of games I've seen Milwaukee play, they've just kind of been all over the place.
All right, well, the music means that the early edition of Sports Time Radio for Friday is over, so Dan and I are going to take off. Now, we will not be back till Tuesday, so mark that on your calendar, Tuesday at 5:30. So you know what to do, though, while we're away. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning at sportstimeradio.com. Follow the link to the Facebook page. Don't forget the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. And as always, you can hunt Dan and I on Twitter, you know, hunt us down on Twitter if you're looking for us. As always, thanks for coming on and listening to us live. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want right over at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.